Welcome to the Shiur Shem Yishmor Parshas Ba'aloscha. So this is from the very first year that the Shem Yishmor stepped into the position, Shnas Tov Reish Ayin, which is again 1910. And he starts off quoting a Medrash which is well known to many of us. Rashi quotes the Medrash right in the beginning of Parshas Ba'aloscha. The Rashi quotes it as follows. Very beginning of Parshas Ba'aloscha starts off with the commandment to Aaron HaKohen to Ba'aloscha Saneros, to light the menorah, to take care of the menorah. So why is it that the Parsha of the menorah is juxtaposed with the whole story of the Nesiim, the 12 princes of the various Shvatim, various tribes, and how they brought their karbanos, marking the Chanukah HaMishkan, the dedication of the Mishkan? Why all of a sudden do we go straight into the menorah? So Rashi writes, again quoting the Medrash, when Aaron saw that all of the Nesiim brought their karbanos to dedicate the Mishkan, he became very perturbed. Neither Aaron nor the entire Shevet of Levi were involved in bringing their karbanos. The 12 Nesiim who brought were exclusive of Levi. So he started feeling very bad. Hashem said to Aaron, don't worry, I swear to you, that which you are entrusted with is greater than that which the Nesiim were doing and accomplishing by bringing their karbanos. Sha'ato madlik umeitiv es haneros. You, after all, are kindling and cleaning out the lights of the menorah. So, thank you. So whatever you're doing certainly best, I would say trumps, but I'm not sure if it's appropriate for the current climate. Whatever you're doing certainly trumps or bests that which the Nesiim are doing. So you don't have to worry. Shalchal gadol mishalohem. Whatever you're doing is greater than what they're doing. The Medrash, as quoted by the Shem Yishmuel, adds a little bit of a twist to the way the Medrash is quoted by Rashi. The Shem Yishmuel quotes the Medrash of Bamidbar Rabbah as saying, "Haneros laolam el pnul el mul pnei haMenorah yoiru." The menorah will last forever. V'chol abrachos shenosati l'chol levarachas es bonai einon b'teilin laolam. And similarly, all of the brachos, all of the blessings which I gave you with which to bless my children, presumably Birkas Kohanim, so those also will last forever and ever. Karbanos are going to be gone when the Beis HaMikdash is gone, so what the Nesiim are doing is transitory in nature. But what you're doing, by lighting the menorah and by giving the brachos to Birkas Kohanim, that's going to last forever. That's the way the Medrash Rabbah presents it. The Hiksha HaRambam. So the Ramban over here asks the famous kasha. The Ramban kasha is more on Rashi, but ultimately it's on the Medrash. Lama lo nichamo biktares l'bishtar avodos. Right? When the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Aaron, don't worry, you're lighting the menorah. You and your descendants are going to light the menorah. You're going to take care of the menorah. And, that is certainly better than all of the karbanos brought by the Nesiim. There are many other things that Aaron and his children were doing in the Beit HaMikdash. There's Ktaras, there's incense, there are other avaldos. So why is the menorah any better than those? I mean, the truth is, halokas hamneros b'teilo imishar avaldos, because they're not goals. I mean, when the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, so the avoda that's involved with the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash is also going to go by the wayside. The Kohanim are not kindling a menorah anymore. So why is it a nechama, why is it a consolation to Aaron to say, by the way, don't worry, the karbanos, they're not going to last forever. But the menorah, that's going to last forever. The tirate, so the Ramban answers, the famous Ramban, says the Rambam, Shezer Romez Vahadlokas Neres Chanukah Shekayemes Le'olam. The Medrash is assuming the existence of Chanukah. So while it's true that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash is no longer extant, and the Kohanim are no longer involved with that, however, we do have this holiday called Chanukah, and on Chanukah we light menorahs in our homes. So that menorah is eternal, that menorah, even during the time of the Golos, stays on, continues on. And that was the nechama that the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Aaron. Although, you know, the Nesim are bringing Karbonos, the Karbonos will not last forever. But the concept of menorah is going to last forever. Even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there's going to be this holiday called Chanukah on which the menorah is going to be lit. So first of all, the menorah didn't, you know, the holiday of Chanukah didn't even come to existence until a certain amount of time into the Gaulus, right? So it's a good point. Right. So if I could explain to you how God would talk to Aaron, I'd have much better shiurim than I could possibly ever give. I don't know, you know, but there clearly, clearly there was something, there's some way in which he communicated to Aaron. Yeah.
We know it's common knowledge about the inscriptions on the Arch of Titus and the Kalim that were taken out, I think, by Rome at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What is the latest scholarship as to who has our Kalim?
It's probably upstairs.
Huh?
Probably upstairs. No, well,
we know additionally,
yeah,
that Ahasuerus, part of the
right, that Ahasuerus had it. Yeah.
Is that he used Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
B'nai Yisrael didn't say anything.
Right.
So is it possible that Iran still has a Kalim?
It's possible.
What, if anything, is being done about getting these items repatriated?
I'm not doing anything. Just maybe there are others who are doing, but I'm not
thing
doing.
With art,
yeah. Yeah. Right.
And ownership.
Right. Right. I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know enough to answer. Yeah. Yeah. No. So the truth is, the Medrash is very hard to understand on many levels. Right. In other words, the menorah is not going to be, you know, is not going to be instituted for Hanukkah for many years until the future. You know, it doesn't really seem to line up. In other words, the Nesim are bringing a one-time korban. Aaron is involved with the Beis HaMikdash for years. In other words, he and his children for 800 some odd years in total are going to be involved in the vote of the Mikdash. That would seem to make up for it. What does it mean? Again, clearly the Medrash is getting at something, but what does it mean? What does the Ramban mean? That the Neros of Hanukkah somehow, you know, console Aaron over the fact that he's not involved in the Chanukah Hanisayim. So let's try to understand this. V'nira, v'hinei kivod kedushas ovi admor zavsal omar sh'avodas ha-leviyim milamato lemalo v'avodas ha-kohanim milamalo lemato. I picked this particular Shemesh Shmuel because for those who heard last week's shiur, this very much follows in the footsteps of last week's shiur. Last week's shiur we spoke about the respective roles of the Kohen and the Levi, and how the Kohen and the Levi have very different types of avoda. The Kohen's avoda is much more in private, the Levi's avoda is much more in public. And here too, the Shemesh Shmuel adds another dimension to this distinction between Kohen and Levi, namely that the avoda of the Kohanim, as he puts it, is milamala lamata, from above to down below, whereas the avoda of the Levi is milamata lamala, from bottom up to the top. What does that mean? Right? So in other contexts we've quoted the phrases from the Zohar, which the Shemesh Shmuel speaks about, of what's called an Is'arusa de la Eila and an Is'arusa de la Tata. An awakening that comes from above and versus an awakening that comes from below. An awakening that comes from above basically means I do nothing in order to be worthy of a certain spirituality. God, so to speak, dumps the spirituality on me and I'm a passive recipient. Right? So a classic example of Is'arusa de la Eila, an awakening from above, is the status of the Jewish people when they left Mitzrayim. Again, to a large extent, the Jewish people are not really worthy inherently of leaving Mitzrayim. God says, I know you're not worthy, but poof, you're not worthy. You know, I'm bestowing spirituality upon you, even though you haven't really done much or maybe anything at all, in order to be deserving of that high ranking. And in contrast, in Isarusa de la Tata, when a person has an awakening from below, that means that the person does something himself to energize himself, to raise himself up, and by doing that, he becomes worthy of the spirituality by virtue of picking himself up, as opposed to the spirituality kind of, you know, top down, you know, falling on him and, you know, just coming upon him. The Kohen, he says, brings spirituality down. In other words, he's the recipient of spirituality that starts up in the heavens and then proceeds down to earth. He's sort of a vehicle to channel that spirituality which is coming down. The Levi, in contrast, says the Shem Yishmuel from his father, is creating the spirituality down here on earth, and so to speak, raising himself and those around him up to reach the heavens. He'll elaborate on that in just a minute. Let's just add a little bit more. So that's why Umachmas is there. Hoista avodas hakohana bechashai ve'avodas halaviyim bekol ad kan l'shono hakodesh. My father used to say, he says, that it's for that reason that the Kohanim did their avoda mostly in private, as we spoke about last week. In other words, if you're just, in a sense, the passive recipient to bring down the spirituality from above, so that's something which is best done in a quiet, unassuming kind of way. As opposed to the Levium, again, what was the Levium's main charge? They sang, right? You can't sing quietly. If you're in a choir and you sing quietly, you lose your job, right? The whole point of being in a choir is to sing out loud, right? So the Levium sang out loud, and he says, his slavos v'shir hem dveikos milamata lamala. The very nature of song is that it's what we would call an isaruruso de la tata. It's an awakening that comes from down below, meaning song is an intensely spiritual, right? The whole medium of song is something which is an incredibly spiritual medium, but it's a medium which I can use to create spirituality, to generate spirituality, to raise myself and those around me up, as opposed to just being, I'm active when I sing, as opposed to just being a passive recipient of spirituality that comes from up above. That's why the Levium sang, and the Kohanim, we don't find that they sang. The Kohanim's avoda was quiet, right? The Levium sang because they raised themselves and others up through that song.
The fact that the Kohanim did Birkat Kohanim, they were shorter. You call that passive. I don't know how Rob is using the term passive.
Right.
I mean, it's active.
They certainly did activities, right? But they were quiet activities. Birkas Kohanim, we'll see, is maybe an exception. But in other words, the avoda that took place in the Beis Hamikdash was done mostly out of the public eye, right? So in other words, they were passive recipients. Because they were passive recipients of spirituality, the nature of their avoda was kind of under the radar, in a sense. So he adds the following then: V'zo hoisa tanoso shel aru, hainu. Shehu hoya hanosi shol shevet Levi, hoist of strichel yoslo avodas shivto gamkin kimo shahoya lechonosi shevet. So Aaron basically comes and he says as follows: there are two dimensions to our shevet, right? And as our tribe, Levi, has Levium and it has Kohanim, right? All of the other Nisim brought their korbanos in a way that expresses that was the hisorus. In other words, they arouse themselves by bringing these korbanos. As a kohen, when we do the avoda, so that's a form of, you know, doing avoda or doing something to bring the spirituality down from above. That's great. That's wonderful. But we haven't really done anything in the Chanukah HaMishkan in order to emphasize the spirituality that comes from down below. In other words, that we generate ourselves, the Hisarusa de Latata. We haven't done anything as part of the Mishkan, or even going forward, which is going to enable us to participate in that way. Meaning, as Kohanim, we're doing a lot of bringing down spirituality from above. But I want to do something. I want to be involved in the Chanukah Samishkan in a way that expresses the spirituality we're going to bring up from below. So in other words, basically Aaron says, to paraphrase the Shem Yishmuel, if we would have had Levim singing by the Chanukah Samishkan, I'd be happy. Right? In other words, because there would be an element of Levi that would be involved in the Chanukah Samishkan that would be, you know, bring awakening the spirituality from down below. But right now there's nothing like that. Shus, so you'll tell me that we're going to be involved in Karbonos for the next 800 years, right? 400 years and then, you know, 410 years and another 420 years. That's great. But that doesn't address the element in Chanukah Samishkan of trying to have something that's going to come from down below, to be raised up from down below, where we're going to be able to milamata lamala to try to induce spirituality. They sang every day by the Nesachim. In other words, when the wine libations were poured on the Mizbeach, so that's when they sang the Shir Shalyom. What's that? Right, but No, but I don't think so. In other words, those Nesachim, the Karbanos of the Nesim did not include Nesachim, right? So in other words, I don't think, if you look at the Miluim either, you have to take a look, right? But the Karbanos of the Nesim did not include Nesachim. So, you know, I don't know that the Levim were involved in any way. It sounds like they weren't involved. So he says, V'nichamo Hashem Yisparach B'neiros Hainu milamata l'mala. The nechama that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives to Aaron is that you're involved in the Neiros. Now, you're involved in the menorah. Now, what's special about the menorah? Why is the menorah unique? So says the Shem Yishmuel, of all of the avodos in the Mikdash, the menorah is about this idea of milamata lamala, going from the bottom up to the top. In other words, you know, raising up the spirituality on a grassroots level rather than having the spirituality come down from above and affect us in that way. Where do we see that idea? K'moshe Pirush Rashi. As Rashi writes at the very beginning of the Sedra, Baloscha, right? Rashi's pasuk says Baloscha Saneiros. So Rashi writes that Baloscha means Shitzarech Lahadlik Atshehet Shalheves Olo Me'oleha. Right? That the way that one is supposed to light the menorah is to keep lighting it until the flame comes up by itself. Hainu Hayislavus Lashem Yisbarach Milamato Lamalo. So he says, with that, you know, what does that represent? That you're supposed to light the flame of the menorah until the flame comes up by itself? The flame is representative of the hislavos, the enthusiasm, the energy that we have for the Ribbono Shel Olam and for his service. We have to light that ourselves until it jumps up, you know, reaching for the heavens. That's a metaphor for our own enthusiasm for Hashem. We have to light it, we have to kindle it, and allow it to go up, you know, and make its way towards Shammai. Now that's a different metaphor than what the Kohanim are usually doing. Usually the Kohanim are looking to bring down the spirituality from the heavens down to the earth. The lighting of the menorah and the allowing of the flame to go up is symbolic of this idea of raising up the spirituality. Well, the Maroch of the Mizbeach, I think the Shem Yishmuel would say, remember, Chazal say that there was an Eish HaYoredes Min HaShamayim. In other words, to the extent to which the Kohanim lit the pyre, it was all a fake out, right? Because they didn't really need to light the pyre, the Ma'aracha. The fire of the pyre, the fire of the Ma'aracha, was just sort of there naturally, right? So that would be a great example of milamala lamata, you know, starting from above, coming down from below. Here, the Neiros of the menorah, we don't find that. It's, you know, the Kohanim have to be the ones who light it. Or actually, we'll see on that in a moment. And then he writes interestingly, V'zoi avodas ha'levi. Interestingly enough, based on the paradigm that the Shem Yishmuel has developed, lighting the menorah is actually something akin to what Levim do. Right? In other words, all of the other things that are done in the Beis HaMikdash, right, the shechting of the Karbanos, the offering of the Karbanos, all these sort of things are all tools to bring spirituality down from above. The menorah is davka a tool to raise ourselves up to be able to attain that spirituality. In a sense, then, the lighting of the menorah is really more akin to the work of the Levim than it is to the work of the Kohanim. Ah, so contemplate the following. B'zeu sha'amru zal yuma chavdal ramadays had loka lav avodahi. We'll tie in, you know, this discussion to our discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara, we had the Gemara in the second parak of Yuma that says that lighting the menorah is actually not an avodah. And for that reason, it's not necessary for a Kohen to be the one who lights the menorah. Right? Again, we quoted the Rambam. I don't think he doesn't quote the Rambam, but we quoted the Rambam. You know, the Rambam writes that in theory, if the menorah were to be removed from the Kodesh and brought to a place where a Zohar, a non-Kohen, could stand, let's say they would bring it to the very edge, the eastern edge of the Azara, where a non-Kohen was allowed access, so the Zohar would be perfectly kosher to light the menorah, and then they could move the menorah back into the Kodesh, having been lit by a Zohar. It's not necessary for a Kohen to be the one who lights the menorah. Now, again, in practice, Lamaista, generally it was a Kohen who lit the menorah, but in... I'm sorry?
You couldn't do that with a Kodesh, right?
Yeah, okay, so we'll talk about that, right? But in terms, generally speaking, it was the Kohen who lit the menorah, because again, who was in the Kodesh cleaning out the menorah was the Kohanim. But strictly speaking, the avoda of lighting the menorah, you know, the act of lighting the menorah is not considered to be an avoda. It's not something which is restricted to Kohanim. And if you think about it, it's a little bit difficult to understand, right? I mean, this we spoke about when we did the Gemara in Yuma. So cleaning out the menorah has to be done by a Kohen. But lighting the menorah need not be done by a Kohen. If you were to ask me, I would say exactly the opposite makes sense. You know, cleaning out the menorah, that's custodial work. You know, let the custodian of the Beis HaMikdash take care of that. Oh, but lighting the menorah, that's an important thing. That has to be done by a Kohen. The halacha is exactly the opposite. The cleaning out of the menorah has to be done by a Kohen. The lighting of the menorah can be done by a Zohar. So how do you understand, you know, that hadlaka lav avodahi? How do you understand this concept that the Kohen need not be the one who lights the menorah? So zot hashem yishmoel. It's based on our understanding of the symbolism of lighting the menorah. Lighting the menorah, unlike the other activities in the Beis HaMikdash, is not about bringing down God's spirituality. It's about raising ourselves up to meet God. And that's dafka not the role of the Kohen. That's dafka the role of the Levi, if anything. You know, in his role in Avodas Hashem. Zeu sha'amru zal hadlaka lav avodah hi machmas shehi eina avodas kohanim. It's not really appropriate for what the kohanim do. Okay, so in light of that, he says, consider the following. V'nuchal lomar shezeu tiritz haramban zal shiromez al neiros Hanukkah. So now let's come back to the Ramban for a moment. The Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Aaron HaKohen, and Aaron HaKohen says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, I feel like I lost out on this whole Chanukah HaMishkan thing. Where are we, Shevet Levi, involved? Not just in doing something, but in doing something which is going to express this idea that we can be the originators of spirituality. Not just simply bringing spirituality down, but originating, raising ourselves up in a spiritual way. Where do we have that concept? Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to give you the mitzvah of the menorah. And again, as we saw, the mitzvah of the menorah, even the Beis HaMikdash, is about raising ourselves up to create spirituality. Perhaps, he says, that's what the Ramban means as well, that Neros Hanukkah comes into this picture. Who mentioned Neros Hanukkah? Where did Hanukkah come in over here? So he says as follows. Vo'inyin zeh, vo'inyin shezeh shebod la'avodas Beis HaMikdash begolus. Ki kol galus loshen gilui de'is galio ma de'is kastio v'yeshlita tachisonim chas b'sholom u'machmas zeh hoistot strichol yos ha'avoro be'beis ha'mikdosh v'sol chachomo v'hayim shlotei bo shlita tachisonim avol b'galus machmas ha'chashash ha'nao bot la'avoda v'avodas kohanim hoistolim shol chashbo milamalo lomato. But The ein lachush l'shlita tachitzon. Let's try to summarize what we saw, what we just read now. We had a little bit of a longer paragraph. It says the Shem Shmuel as follows. The avoda, which expresses itself in bringing spirituality down from the heavens, down to earth, is impossible in Golos. Not just technically, because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but whenever you bring spirituality down from the heavens, you know, from the heavens down to earth, it needs a certain amount of protection, right? In other words, spirituality that is unconfined, or spirituality that's not surrounded and utilized properly, spirituality run amok, can be very dangerous. He refers to that as the shlitas hachitzonim, you know, the idea that the outside forces, you know, the forces of evil will get a hold of the spirituality and somehow pervert it, or, you know, send it off in the wrong direction. If you're going to bring down spirituality from the heavens down to earth, it has to be protected in some way. How is the spirituality protected when there's a Beis HaMikdash? He says very interestingly, we know that there's a wall around the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Azara, the courtyard, is not an open air courtyard. There's a wall around the Azara, and that wall has halakhic significance. Not only that, Yerushalayim, where the Beis HaMikdash sits, is surrounded by mountains. Yerushalayim Harim Saviv La, right? Surrounded by mountains. Why is it surrounded by mountains? So he says it's not just a topographical reality, it's a spiritual reality. Because the mountains which surround Yerushalayim protect the spirituality of the Beis HaMikdash. They make sure that spirituality in a physical, you know, however this works, you know, that their physical representation of the idea that the spirituality is going to be closed in and it's not going to just burst out there and do all kinds of things that, you know, unfettered. Now, in Golos, we don't have any of that protection. He says that's why Golos is called Golos, from the word isgalia, which means the galoi, something which is revealed. In Golos, everything is revealed. You know, there's nothing which is closed in or sealed to make sure that it's going to be preserved properly. Everything is out in the open. So you can't bring down spirituality from the heavens down to earth in Golos. It's just not going to work. The avod of the Kohanim, the Beit HaMikdash, doesn't apply in Golos. But the avod of the Leviim, when you create spirituality and then send it up to the heavens, that's something which we can still do in Golos. We can still sing. We can still create spirituality. We don't have to. We can't just bring it down from the heavens, but we can still generate it and create it ourselves. So for that reason, the menorah and the avoda of the menorah is something which is particularly relevant for Golos. Because the menorah represents this idea that we can create spirituality. You know, we're the ones who are generating that sense of spirituality, and even in Golos, a spirituality which is created by us is something which we have control over, which is not going to be made impure or less pristine by these kochas hachitzonim, by these outside forces. Therefore, Chazal created the mitzvah of menorah for Hanukkah, particularly for the Golos, because particularly in Golos, the mitzvah of menorah symbolizes that we can generate spirituality ourselves, and as such is something that can exist even outside of the existence of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Hashem. When we pick up after Maya, we'll continue on this point. There's a lot more to talk about, but you can see already, you know, the Ramban's idea that the Neros of Hanukkah are a nechama to Aaron, who wanted more than anything else to be able to generate spirituality, not just to be a conduit for spirituality from above, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, Neros Hanukkah will be the representative of that idea. We'll pick up as Hashem after Meir. This is part 2 of the Shem Yishmol Parshas Ba'aloscha. Just to summarize what we saw, the Shem Yishmol developed the idea that there's a difference between the avoda of Kohanim versus the avoda of Leviim. Kohanim have the role of drawing spirituality down from the heavens down to the earth. Leviim have the role of generating spirituality down here on earth, and so to speak, sending it up, you know, to Shamayim. The role of Kohanim
is something which can only really be realized in the presence of a Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash is gone, once Galus sets in, it's no longer appropriate to draw down Kedusha from the heavens in quite the same way, because we're afraid of what's going to happen to that Kedusha when it's not protected by the Beis HaMikdash. Nonetheless, the avoda of the Levium, the idea of generating Kedusha down here, grassroots Kedusha, and sending it up to Shamayim, so that's something which can exist even in Galus, and maybe that's the main avoda, you know, of Galus, to generate Kedusha and send it back up. The avoda of the menorah is an avoda, quote unquote, of Levium. In other words, even though it's an avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, it's fundamentally different than the avodos of, you know, of shechita, or shechita, not an avoda, right? But in other words, you know, the other avodos associated with the karbanos, you know, zrikas hadam, haktaras ha'imurim, you know, the bringing of the ketores, you know, all of these things are drawing down the kedusha from up above, you know, down to this earth. The menorah is generating kedusha and sending it back up. For that reason, Hadlach of Shera Bizar, for that reason a non-Kohen is allowed to do the lighting of the menorah. For that reason as well, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is particularly apt for the Golos, because the menorah symbolizes an avoda which is apt for the Golos. And when Aaron HaKohen complained to the Ribbono Shel Olam, how come my Shevet had no role in the Chanukah HaMishkan, and God says, don't worry, I'm giving you the menorah, that was God's intent. In other words, besides all of the other aspects of Avoda that you have, which are meant to draw down Kedusha from the heavens, I'm also giving you a certain aspect of Avoda whose purpose it is to raise up Kedusha from down below and send it up to Shamayim.
Two questions. Why wasn't Aaron satisfied with the role of the Levium to say that had a role in being the Kedusha of Mahdi Mahla Levium? And it seems that they were particularly concerned about the Aaron as a Shevet. And also, if Azar could do the lighting of the menorah too, and Tanaka, and everybody on the panel, in what ways is Aaron special as far as the menorah is concerned.
So in other words, in a sense, the Shemish world does too good a job. Meaning, once you've said that the menorah is really not Navoda of Kohanim, so then what nechama is it, to Aaron, you know, that don't worry, you still have the avoda of the menorah. Yeah, but that's not really his avoda anyway. Right. So perhaps we can suggest as follows. I don't know that the Shemesh Shmuel would agree with this, but we can throw it in there. You know, one of the contemporaries of the Shemesh Shmuel was the Meshech Chachma, the Meir Simcha Kohen of Divinsk. And the Meshech Chachma asked the following kasha. It's a great kasha. Right, so we just said that Hadlok of Shera Bizar, right? You know, that a non Kohen is allowed to light the menorah. Says Meshachachma, what do you do with the Pasuk? The Pasuk seems to be against that. By Daber Hashem El Moshe, Daber El Aaron, Baha'alos Ko'es Haneros. When you, Aaron, cause the lights to go up. Right? What does that mean? I mean, that means when you light the menorah. Why is the Ribbono Shel Olam telling Aaron to light the menorah? Hadlok Ksheira Bizar? Tell Aaron to go call somebody else to light the menorah. What do you mean, Ba'alos Chos Haneiros? In other words, you know, the very Pasuk makes it sound like Aaron of the Kohanim are lighting the menorah. So Meshachachma says the following. He says, it's true that going forward throughout Jewish history, Hadlok Ksheira Bizar. But even though Hadlok Ksheira Bizar in general, the first time the menorah is lit, it has to be lit by a Kohen. The Chanukas HaMenorah needs a Kohen to do it. Right? So that's Pshat, and it fits in the Pasuk. By Daber El Aaron, specifically Aaron, not Aaron B'El Bonov, right? Not the children of Aaron. They have nothing to do with lighting the menorah necessarily. The Ha'alos Tcha Es Haneros. But not the Ha'alos Chem Es Haneros, but the Ha'alos Tcha. As Haneros, when you specifically light the menorah for the first time, right? So that's going to be the Chanukah HaMenorah, right? So So bringing that back, right, to Yaakov's point, Aaron wanted to know, what role do I have in the Chanukas HaMishkan? Right? So the Rabban Shalom comes to Aaron and he says, the role you have in the Chanukas HaMishkan is the Chanukas HaMenorah. And you should know, you know, in other words, we need you to start this avodah of lighting the menorah. And you should know that this avodah of lighting the menorah is very, very special, even though it's not going to be the avodah of the Kohanim in general, but it's an avodah which Klal Yisrael can take with them into the Golos in a way in which they can't necessarily take the rest of the avodahs. Right? So, in other words, the menorah is lit initially by Aaron, but then is lit subsequently by anybody else. Now, if we take this idea, if we want to merge the Meshech Chochma and the Shem Yishmo, we get the following, I think, conceptually very beautiful idea. In order to enable people to generate spirituality on their own, it's helpful to first bring down a certain measure of spirituality from above. In other words, when you get that kedusha that comes from above, that then gives you the you know, the encouragement.
Low-hanging fruit?
No, I don't think so. In other words, when the Ribbono Shel Olam bestows kedusha on a person, that then gives him the wherewithal to generate kedusha on his own. Right? So in other words, how would that fit into the menorah? The menorah is symbolic of our being able to generate kedusha ourselves. But even that, the first lighting of the menorah has to come from Aaron, whose whole avodah it is to bring kedusha down from up on high. In other words, that initial lighting of the menorah symbolizes the kedusha coming from up on high down below. Once that initial shefa, that initial, you know, bestowing of kedusha comes down, so then we're able to, you know, that jump starts us, that primes the pump, so to speak, in order to enable us to generate kedusha on our own, right? If we put the Meshech Chochma, again, we're merging the Meshech Chochma and the Shem Yishmo. Maybe we're not allowed to do that, right? Litzvah Shechsidah Shabshat, right? But if we're okay putting that together, so then maybe that's what emerges in Hashkach. Yeah.
What do you mean by has to come from a Kohen?
So in other words, the Meshech Chochma says a novel idea.
When you're lighting the menorah, it has to come from a Kohen?
The Meshech Chochma says a novel idea that the first time the menorah is lit, it had to be lit by a Kohen. Subsequently, anyone can light it. Right? But the first time that it was lit, it had to be lit by a Kohen. In the Mishkan, right? The first time that the menorah was lit, had to be lit by a Kohen. Subsequently, you know, other people were able to light it. The first time that it was lit in the Mishkan, it had to be lit by a Kohen. Okay. So he writes, I'm skipping down a little bit. Blazeh ha-halacha hadlaka osa mitzvah v'lo hanacha. Hainu ki lo yachul chazal l'sakein mitzvahs ner chanukah b'golus. Neged had hanochas hashemen v'apsilos v'menora. Shizo hoisto milamalu l'mato shishemen yichachma. Shiva Kne Menorah, Shiva Midos Kanoda, Avodas Kakoharim, Shapsula Bizar. Is that Yevshar Lihios the Golos? Rakad Lokosh, Ilava Vodas, though Yechol Lihios the Golos, Umishum Zeh had Loko Osa Mitzvah, Behove. The Shem Yishmo offers up the following very interesting explanation. Again, just let's give a little bit of background. We know the Gemara Shabbos discusses whether in the context of Ner Chanukah Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah or whether Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, meaning the moment at which one fulfills the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, is it the moment at which one kindles the menorah, or is it related to the result, to the placement, the, you know, placing the menorah with, you know, with the oil and with the lit wicks in a particular place? So in other words, you know, what would be one, you know, distinction, one nafkamina between the two positions? Let's say you light the menorah in a place where ordinarily you would not fulfill the mitzvah, right? Whatever it is, you light the menorah, you know, more than 20 amos up in the air where you're not, you know, you don't fulfill the mitzvah in such a place. But then you move the menorah and place it in a place where one can fulfill the mitzvah in that particular place. Right? So what is the crucial moment? The moment at which you lit it, in which case you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah, or is the crucial moment, you know, the placement, in which case you are Yotzei the Mitzvah? The Gemara debates this. And ultimately the Gemara decides that Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, what matters is the lighting, not the placement. What's the significance of that? So the Chaim Shmuel suggests the following, very fascinating idea. He says, the Hadlaka of the Hanukkah menorah corresponds to the Hadlaka, the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which again, as we said, can be done by a non-Kohen. The placement of the Hanukkah menorah corresponds to the placement of the oil in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which had to be done by a Kohen. Right? So again, that's an assumption, but let's say that if you hold that the Hadlaka, you know, is the mitzvah for Ner Chanukah, so you're focused in on the Hadlaka, you're making it parallel to the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And in contrast, if you say Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, you're saying that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah parallels the placement of the oil into the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Says the Shem Yishmuel, in light of everything we've said, it doesn't make sense to say that Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, meaning that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in some way parallels the placement of the oil in the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Why not? Because the placement of the oil in the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash had to be done specifically by Kohanim. The whole point of Ner Chanukah is to create a mitzvah which is not done by Kohanim, a mitzvah which symbolizes the idea of non-Kohanim doing work, doing avod in the mikdash. You know, people who are bringing, generating kedusha. The idea of putting oil into the menorah symbolizes the idea of inviting the kedusha to come down from on high. We don't do that in Golos. In Golos, the only way we can deal with kedusha is to generate the kedusha ourselves, which is symbolized by Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. So in other words, the Shem Yishmol sees the debate in the Gemara about Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah or Hanacha Osa Mitzvah as being related to this greater debate whether we're trying to raise the kedusha up from down below or bring the kedusha down from up above. Right? Right. In I mean, there are a lot of jumps, you know, that are being made in you know, in the Shem Yishmol, but again, that's his suggestion. Then he just adds the following: The Medrash, as quoted in the Bemidbar Rabbah, as opposed to the way Rashi brings the Medrash, describes how there were two things that the Ribbono Shel Olam told Aaron, that these are going to be your eternal legacy, so you don't have to worry about the fact that your Sheva didn't bring a Karbon. Number one, the menorah. Number two, Birkas Kohanim. Birkas Kohanim is going to last, you know, Duchanim is going to last throughout the Golos. So, okay, we just explained the significance of the menorah. What about Birkas Kohanim? So if you tell me Birkas Kohanim also is about bringing the Kedusha from down below as opposed to bringing it from up above, that really is not going to fit, because it's a, you know, Birkas Kohanim can only be done by Kohanim. Right? So again, however you understand Birkas Kohanim, it's obviously something which is unique to Kohanim. So according to his paradigm, it should be something where you're bringing the Kedusha from up above and channeling it. But that's also difficult, because as he said before, if you're bringing Kedusha from up above and channeling it, so you shouldn't be able to do that in Golos. Because bringing Kedusha from up above exposes that Kedusha to, you know, these kochos hachitzonim, to this tremendous danger of, you know, being misused. So how do we do Birkas Kohanim in the Golos? I mean, that's essentially the question that he's asking. So he says that you know, with regard to Birkas Kohanim has 60 letters, and the Medrash says that Shishim, that the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Shishim Gibarim Saviv Lo Migibari Yisrael, that there are 60 warriors surrounding, you know, the bed of Shlomo HaMelech, refers to the Birkas Kohanim, meaning the way the Shem Yishmol understands it, that somehow Birkas Kohanim is given a certain protection or a certain insulation that it can be used even in the Golos without being subject to these Kolchas HaChitzonim, without being subject to this misuse of Kedusha. Right? So, true, the Kohanim are bringing down Kedusha from up above. They're not generating Kedusha. And true, it's only Kohanim and it's done even in Golos, which shouldn't make sense according to his paradigm. The reason Birkas Kohanim can still be done in Golos, even though it's bringing down Kedusha from up above, is because there's a certain protection associated with the Birkas Kohanim.
What can we say that there's protection in the Mishnah? It's around it there,
right. So I guess Mikdash Ma'at, meaning, you know, yeah, it's a Mikdash, but it's a Kleiner Mikdash, you know. It's, you know, when all said and done, the shul is, yes, it's a Mikdash Ma'at, but it's not the real deal. So in other words, whatever Kedusha the Beis HaMikdash possesses, we have to an extent in a shul, but, you know, not to the fullest extent. In a minute I'll try to address, again, for us non-Kabbalah understanding people, which is certainly me, you know, we'll try to understand what I think he might be saying with this, you know, 60 warriors, your Birkas Kohanim, what does that mean exactly? Yeah. Mr. Packer is suggesting that once you have Mikdash Me'at, so even the other aspects of Kedusha, you know, that are coming down. Right, in other words, theoretically, we could bring carbonos, you know, or something like that. Right, right. In other words, if you're concerned about protection, shouldn't the shul afford that protection? Right? Birkas Kohanim, of course, doesn't have to be done in shul. Right? I mean, it can be done anywhere. So there's something about the words of Birkas Kohanim itself which are protective. So let me suggest the following. Again, whether this is correct or not, I don't know, but I'll say it anyway. And if you like it, fine. If you don't like it, so okay. So you don't like it, you know. I mean, can't make everybody happy. So what does it mean, first of all, when he talks about how you need protection for Kedusha that, you know, that comes into the world? As if you're going to take Kedusha from up above and bring it down, so that's something that can, you know, that can be attacked by the Kosas HaChitzonim and that you need a certain amount of protection for. So we find in general, in Yiddishkeit and in life itself, that, you know, the more special something is, the more easily it can be misused. I think that's true of things in life in general, right? You have something very, very powerful, so it can be used for good, it can be used for evil. Right? You can split an atom, which, you know, creates tremendous power, and you can harness that power in tremendous ways, and you can bomb Hiroshima. Right? In other words, it's all the more you create power, you know, the more that power can be used in a way which is constructive or destructive. I'm not getting around the politics of whether it was right to bomb Hiroshima or not. I'm just saying, but clearly, you know, whether it was right or not, it was clearly destructive. It was not you weren't creating something. You might have been stopping World War II. It might have been a good thing to do. But, you know, clearly it was a destructive force that was unleashed, you know, through the splitting of the atom. Okay, so the same thing with Kedusha. Again, we don't fully understand this, but, you know, when Kedusha is brought down in a rarefied form from Shamayim, so that Kedusha can be misused in certain ways. One of the few things that can't really be misused is something which involves words. Right? In other words, words themselves can certainly be misused. You know, words can be used in all different kinds of ways. That's why we have all these dinim about Lashon Hara and the like. But if you're taking exact words which are given to you by the Ribbono Shel Olam to say, right, words of bracha, those words can only be a conduit of Kedusha in the positive sense and can't be transformed into anything negative. That's the power of words. Kedusha, which is not verbal, can be misused in terrible ways. Kedusha, which is associated with specific words, not just speech in general. Speech can be misused. But specific words of Kedusha, Yivarechach Hashem, Yishmerecha, etc., those words can, because they've been captured in a finite form of words,
can only be a conduit for Kedusha and can't be misused or led astray in any way. What's my basis for saying this? Think about Bilam. We're going to read about in the Parshios in just a few weeks, right? Bilam wants to curse the Jewish people. God twists his arm and makes his mouth utter brachos. Those brachos, even coming out of the mouth of somebody who wanted to destroy the Jewish people, those brachos are a force then for good. In other words, if the words are right, and the words are dictated by God, so then those words will be a conduit for Kedusha, and they can't be misused, even in the mouth of a Bilam. Right? So that's the unique protection of Birkas Kohanim. Specific words which are dictated by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Kol Sivarach Les B'nei Yisrael. This is what you got to say. Not make up your own idea. Gee, golly gee, I love everybody here in the shul. No. Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha. There are specific words that you say, which the Ribbono Shel Olam invested with Kedusha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you use these words, and I don't care who you are, by the way, Mr. Cohen. In other words, almost any Cohen, regardless of his personal flaws, is kosher to bench the people. Right, the only time a Kohen would not be kosher to Duchen based on personal flaws is where the personal flaws somehow relate to his kahuna. You know, he's a Kohen married to a Grusha, whatever, right? But I mean he could be a murderer, Al Pi Din, he could be a murderer. And he can still be kosher. Not a murderer, I'm sorry. That's one of the few things, right? But Yidechem Domi Moleu, but he could, I don't know.
He could be
a terrible, terrible person. He could, let's not a murderer. He could be a kidnapper, right? He could be a kidnapper, and nonetheless, he's kosher to be Noseas Kampov.
That seems to me to present an unbelievable dichotomy because of public perception. If what you're saying is valid, and I'm not challenging it, but the idea of a Russia making public statements,
right? So
Hashem.
Except that it's a chiyuv for him to go up and bless the people, right? In other words, the Rambam writes, this is the beautiful Rambam, the Rambam writes, yeah, I don't get that. A Rasha should get up in front of the congregation and bless the people. Says the Rambam, you have to understand it has nothing to do with the Kohen. The Kohen is just a conduit. The bracha comes down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said, stick Kohanim up in the front of the shul, let them stick their hands down, let them say these words, and I'm going to bless the people through the Kohanim. The guy's a Rasha. You're right. If it was the guy who was giving the bracha, I wouldn't want him, to give me a bracha. But he's not giving me a bracha. Kodesh Baruch Hu's giving me the bracha.
The person that you appoint as a shuliach to daven for us.
But I didn't appoint
him. Does he not have to have certain hurdles that he goes over so that he qualifies to do that?
So who appointed the Kohen?
Huh?
Who appointed the Kohen? Right. So that's the answer. And those are the rebuttal.
That I understand. So we have the responsibility of vetting the person who davens for us.
Right. But in other words, the Shliach Tzibur is by appointment. The Kohen's...
But it's the same concept.
The Kohen is chosen by virtue of his biology.
Yes, okay.
Right, in other
DNA.
Words, right, his DNA should pick him. It has nothing to do with his actions, nothing to do with his qualification. His qualification is that his father was a Kohen, and his father was allowed to be married to his mother. Right, that is what makes the Kohen qualified to be a Kohen. Right, so what we're suggesting is that the specific words of Birkas Kohanim, because they're so specific, have a protective built-in power that nothing else can touch them. So what emerges is a fascinating thing. Birkas Kohanim is the one vestige that we have nowadays of a Kedusha that comes directly from Shamayim onto us, as opposed to a Kedusha or a Ruchnius that we generate ourselves and bring back to, the one thing that the Kohanim do today, which is still an avoda of Kohanim. Again, we're not talking about Pidyon HaBen or things like that, which are still, functions of the Kohen. But the one thing which is an avoda of the Kohen, where the Kohen is bringing down Ruchnius and Kedusha from up above is Birkas Kohanim. It makes you appreciate Duchenek, right? According to this idea of the Shem Yishmuel. Okay, we will pick up Ez Hashem next week and see everybody then.